Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. I'm thinking that we have only 3 more assemblies, counting this one, until the end of the school year. And it's an important year for us here in the school because it's the end of 40 years since the school began. That's nearly 4 school generations. Nearly 4. 12 years you spend in school, from your start until you finish. That being the case, the 40 years covers nearly 4 generations of pupils. That's a lot of pupils, isn't it? You may be surprised that some of you, your mums and your dads, were here at the beginning, and here you are, sitting now in their place all these years later. Matthew chapter 25. You're open and ready to go. Well, I'd like just to remind you of one or two verses. We read verse 2, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all neglected the duty, found a cozy corner, lay down, and went to sleep. And we're considering how that the Saviour, in telling us this parable, is painting a picture of today. Today. So that if we look around us, we should see what the Saviour is speaking about here in this parable. These are the last days that are referred to in the parable, because verse 6 says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh." It's a reference to the coming again of the Lord Jesus. So the parable's related to events among the people professing to be Christians in the world just before the Saviour comes. And I'm saying to you that that's a picture of today. Because, boys and girls, the Saviour is not far away. His coming is ever drawing nearer. Now, notice what the Saviour tells us about the professing church in the last days. Now, you, each one of you here today, are part of the professing church. You attend church. You would say you believe the Bible. You would say you believe, yes, I believe in God. I believe Jesus Christ is the only Saviour. I believe he died at Calvary. There's a lot of things you would say. You're part of the professing church of Christ today. And that church is represented here by these 10 young ladies. 10 young ladies. And they're referred to here as virgins. They weren't married. And the term refers to purity in the Bible. In the Bible, a young lady like this was a picture of purity and holiness. And in the last days, there will be a people on this earth who profess to be the holy people of God. But we're told here that there was a division among these young ladies. 5 were foolish. 5 were foolish. 5 were wise. 5 of them took the duties that were theirs seriously. Seriously. But 5 of them didn't. They were supposed to go out with lanterns, torches, and escort the bridegroom when he came to meet with his bride. That was the custom among the Jews. That's what they did. And as I say, 5 of them took that duty very seriously, and they made sure they had oil so that their lamps stayed alight. But 5 of them, they didn't carry any oil. And as you know, an oil lamp will only burn for a certain length of time, and then you have to refuel it, fill it up again. But 5 of these young girls, they never thought of that. They never thought of that. Never thought about tomorrow, as it were. Ah, they shook their lamp. Oh, yes, there's some oil in it, and that was good enough. Never thought, well, it may run out. It will run out. I'd need to have a fresh supply. That's what 5 of them were like. The others, they had oil in their lamps, but they had a vessel, a container of oil as well, to refuel the lamp. And that's a picture of the church today. Among those who say they're Christians today are those who take the matter seriously And they make sure that they have in their possession fuel to keep the lamp burning. Others, they never think at all about that. Am I ready for tomorrow? Am I prepared for tomorrow? They never think about that. You know, as I said, we're marking the 40th anniversary of our school. And there have been many sitting, basically where you're sitting, who while they were in school, they attended on to the teaching, they listened, they gave obedience as far as could be seen to what was said to them. But when they left school, they set it all aside. They forgot all about it. They wandered off into the world and just did what the world did. They had no oil to keep the lamp burning. They were foolish. They weren't really Christians. They weren't really saved. Now they looked like they were saved. Many of them never gave 1 hour of trouble in the school. But when they went out from under the discipline of the school and they began to live their life as they wanted to live it, they forgot all about the Lord. Well, that's pictured here. Five were wise, five were foolish. It's important for me to read to you what Paul the Apostle said in his second epistle. You older ones, look it up, please, because not only hearing it is good, but seeing it for yourselves is even better. You'll remember it even more clearly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are familiar words, I'm sure. You will have heard them referred to many times, but please note them afresh. This know also. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's instructing Timothy, a young preacher. He's saying, I want you to know this, Timothy. I want you to know it in order that you might not only know it for yourself, but teach others. That in the last days, that is, the end of the age, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, that's a pretty full description. And every descriptive term used here is bad. A black picture painted here. And it's of the church. It's of the professing church he's talking about. Why? Well, look at the bit that I have yet to read. Having a form of godliness. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness. In other words, they profess to be godly. They have a form of godliness. They have some likeness to godliness. But of course they're not godly. Just like what we have here in the parable. Five were wise, five were foolish. Looking at the 10 young ladies, you couldn't have told at first glance any difference in them. It was only when you looked at the oil that they were supposed to have that you discovered that five of them had oil, five of them didn't. Do you have oil in your lamp today? Do you? Is there something within you that fuels a flame? Something within you? Life from God. On the Sabbath evening here in church, the preacher was talking about those who were born of God. Born of God. They had within them life from God. That's the picture here. Five had oil that fueled the flame. The Christian is someone who has within them that which has come from God and which is the very source of life within them. Have you that? Have you that? That's important. I don't want you drifting along as these five foolish ladies drifted along. I don't want you drifting along thinking, oh, I'll be all right. Because you won't if you're not born of God. So, these 10 young women gave us a picture of what the church will be like in the last days. Filled with false profession. Filled with make-believe religion. Make-believe Christianity. The Savior pictures here the church and every other person is not really saved at all. If I was to go through here, now I can't tell hearts, but how many are really saved? How many have oil within? We used to sing a chorus years ago, I'm sure it's still sung. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Is there a flame burning in your life, fueled by the grace and power of God? Notice something else too. There were only 10 virgins, 10 young women. That's not a big number. In the old Jewish church, that is in the Church of Christ in the Old Testament, the minimum number of adults that were required to form a congregation was 10. You couldn't form a congregation, a synagogue congregation, with 9. You had to have 10. That was the very minimum. When Abraham prayed for Lot and his family, for Sodom, he got down as far as 10 in his prayer and said, Lord, if there are 10 righteous in Sodom, will you spare it? That was the minimum number he got to. So the number 10 here refers to a number that suggests the church is at a very low ebb at the end of the age. Small. It's small. And even among the 10, half of them weren't saved at all. Oh, the church is going to be a small little matter when Christ returns. We see it all around us, boys and girls. We see it all around us. Listen to me. There are people who listen in to our assembly studies in their homes because they have no church to go to. There's no gathering in their area or near to where they can go. All the churches have abandoned the Bible in their area, teach falsehood and the devil's lie. And they, and maybe a friend or two, just gather on the Lord's Day to listen to recordings. Church is going down. It's happening here too, here in Ulster. We were known among all of the four kingdoms that make up the United Kingdom. We were known as a church-going people. When I was a boy, on the Lord's Day, when you went out, there was nothing happening on the roads except a car or two heading to church. There were no vans, no lorries, no commercial traffic whatsoever. Every shop was shut. There was a reduced bus service to accommodate people who were going to church. And as you went out on the streets, you would see people all walking toward their church. Changed times. Now when we go out on the Lord's Day, tractors are running. Farmers are going out to their fields to work on the Lord's Day, contrary to the commandment of God. You see vans and lorries delivering. You see shops open. You see the roads filled with people, and they're not going to church at all. They're not going to church at all. And those that are going to church are very, very small in number. And even among them, as we see here, there are those who are not really saved at all. In the last days, before the Savior comes, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be very, very, very small, very reduced, very reduced. Now, as we've noticed, all of these young ladies carry lamps. They make a profession. They look like they are part of the group of young women that are waiting for the bridegroom. They look like that. But only 5 of them have taken their duties seriously. Only 5 of them. The others, they have no oil. And even those that are taking their duties seriously are somewhat careless. Their lamps are untrimmed. Do you know what that means? There's very few of you have ever sat in a living room or a kitchen and worked by the light of a lamp, an oil-burning lamp. Maybe when there has been a power cut or something like that, you may well have had to do that. But I'm sure that few of you have any knowledge of it. Well, the old oil lamp, you see, you gave a good light, but you had to trim the wick. There was a woven cloth, a strip of cloth that was fed down into the bowl of the lamp, and it soaked up the oil to the top, and you could light the oil at the top of the wick. But the wick gradually burned. The oil burned, but the wick too did some burning, and it had to be trimmed. It got very ragged, and when it got ragged, the flame got ragged, and smoke would start coming off the flame. So you had to trim the top of the wick, keep it nice and even, and then the flame was even, and there was no smoke. And very often, the children got the duty of looking after the lamp, making sure it was filled, making sure the globe, the glass part of it, was clean,
so that there was no hindering of the light getting out, and oftentimes was the duties of the girls in the family. The boys probably would have broken the glass globe, dropped it, and burned bits. The girls were always that wee bit more careful. But these young ladies, their lamp wasn't trimmed. The good ones, the wise ones, despite the fact that they really did take their duties more serious than the other five, they were careless in this matter. Their lamp was untrimmed. They weren't paying the attention to it that they should. And that's how the church is going to be in the last days. Filled with pretended Christians, and even the good and genuine Christians will have elements of carelessness in their lives. They'll not attend to the trimming of the lamp that they should. How about you? Is that not a warning? If you really love the Lord, but do you take time to give attention to your profession, making sure that you have oil supply, coming afresh to the Lord and saying, Lord, anoint me with fresh oil, referring to a fresh supply of the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. And do you trim the lamp, making sure there's no smoke coming up out of your life, but that it's light, untarnished, unblemished, pure. This then is how the church is going to be in the last days. Oh, we've got to notice the Saviour is saying as loudly as he could, as it were, and as plainly as he could in these words, that the church is riddled with false profession. That's how it is today. Look around us. That's how it is today. Those churches that profess to be Christian, they're riddled with people who are not Christians. In the pulpit, there are ministers who are not Christians at all. They take the Bible and they deny it. That's their sermon. They preach that which is not in the Bible. They preach that which the Bible says are lies. That's the state of the church today, boys and girls. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? If we had an announcement in the press, over the radio, over the television, leaflets through the door, saying that when you go to hospital, be careful, because some of those in the hospital who say they're doctors are there to kill you, not to heal you. Wouldn't that make you sit down and think? Wouldn't that make you approach the hospital most carefully? Wouldn't that cause you to look at the doctors and make sure that the one that is attending to you is not trying to kill you? Wouldn't it? Of course it would. Well, the Saviour has flooded the world with warnings that the church is going to be riddled with those who are not his servants at all, but rather they will begin to spread lies, spread that which will damn the souls of men and women. They're servants of the devil. They come in looking like angels of light, but they're really servants of the devil. That's the state of the church. I would say that here in Northern Ireland, which is probably the best part of the United Kingdom with regards the gospel witness, but by far the number of churches in this country that are corrupted, that have devil-inspired preachers, far outnumber the churches where the Bible is taught. The Saviour is speaking to us most seriously here and telling us that the church in the last days is riddled with false profession. And we see it all around us. We hear, pray for friends and for neighbours. And I would say 99% of those friends and neighbours that we pray for and want to see saved believe that they are Christians. If you went to them and said you need to be saved, they'd come back. What do you mean? I go to my church. I'm going to heaven. They think they're saved. They consider themselves Christians. But here we are praying for them. That's the state of the church today. The professing church. And as we see here, there's a spirit of sleep upon them all. All these young virgins, these young women that picture for us the church. There's a spirit of slumber. They all slumbered and slept, it said. We read that specifically in the verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all, not just those who weren't really
giving proper attention to their duties, but even those who were more diligent in the attending of their duty. Those who had oil in their lamps, they went to sleep as well. And boys and girls, even genuine Christians today have become sleepy. Have become sleepy. Good pulpits, godly men in good pulpits, who give attention to the important truths of the gospel. But oftentimes there's one matter they forget. One matter they rarely mention. What is it these young women forgot? What is it? They forgot that the bridegroom was coming. That's what they forgot. Across the church worldwide, there is a forgetting, an ignoring, a slumbering about this one important great truth that should keep us awake and keep us alive and keep us attentive. Jesus is coming again. Do you realize that? Jesus is coming again, and he's coming to take over the world, to rule the world. Imagine what that will be like. Imagine the change that will take place in this world. At the present time in the United Kingdom, there's a whole furore going on about who should lead the Conservative Party and become the next Prime Minister. Anyone who looks with any seriousness upon this matter is filled with horror at the bunch of monkeys that are lining up to become the next Prime Minister. It fills us with horror at the thought of any one of them leading the country. What would you feel like if you hopped into a bus and you discovered, as the bus began to move off, that the one who was steering it was a baboon? I think you would be alarmed. We're going to be killed. This bus can't possibly arrive at its destination safely. It's going to crash. There's a baboon driving it. I read the other day, and don't you boys try the same, but in America, a wee boy of 4 wanted some sweeties, and he went out into the hallway of his home. His granda had one of those walkers, you know, the wee frame that elderly people use to help them walk. Well, he had one of these, and he used it to climb up and get down the keys of the family car. And he went out into the car, started it up, and off he went down the highway, heading for what we would call a petrol station, knowing that there would be sweeties there. But of course, on the way there, he knocked down a number of mailboxes that they have at the end of their drive, bashed into a tree, and when he arrived, he thumped something else at the petrol station. And by which time, of course, somebody had noticed him, because he was sort of all over the road. And the police were chasing him, and they caught up with him. 4 years of age. Well, I don't know whether he would be a better driver than a baboon. But if you were in a bus being driven by either him or the baboon, you'd be worried. You'd be worried. Boys and girls, I have to tell you, this world is in the hands, by and large, of baboons. With every apology to the baboon. Because the funny thing is old baboons get along quite well in the jungle. They don't get into trouble. But we have leaders in our countries that lead the country into trouble all the time. But Jesus is coming, and he's going to take over the world. What a glad time it will be. But are we thinking of that? Are we aware of that? Do we ponder that every day? Now, I know you're thinking of next Thursday, is it? Aye, there's a smile or two there. School ends. You're thinking of it. Please think, too, of that day when Jesus will take over the world. Oh, happy day. Well, the Lord bless you. Through his word today, let's bow in prayer. Bless thy word to hearts today, Lord. Grant grace, please, impress upon their hearts thine own word, and may it affect their lives. Bless the school as the year comes to a close, and all connected with it. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.